Hi, welcome again to Crosslink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of the only radio program that talks about your health from the eye teeth on down. The reason that I started this program, as most people know, is to kind of highlight and incorporate the oral condition into systemic health and how dental hygienists are really kind of the leaders in all of that kind of thing. When you look at studies that link the oral condition with just about anything else systemically, the liver, the kidneys, the cardiovascular system, strokes, all of that stuff, everything leads back to biofilm management. Without good biofilm management, you're going to end up with inflammation in the gingival tissue, and that inflammation leads to the bacterial byproducts and pieces of biofilm and free-floating bacteria into the bloodstream, and then it can go everywhere. So that's one way that the oral systemic link works. The other way is just basic inflammation and the chemistry that comes from inflammation and how it affects all of the rest of the body systems and how those chemicals that are made and hormones that are made in different body systems in response to inflammation cause trouble in other body systems. So it's really a, I don't even know, can we call it a Venn diagram where you have one circle over here and another over here? But the central issue here is still biofilm management. So it's all really about the dental hygienist. And I have today a guest again who has come back to talk with us again about dental hygienists and dental hygiene. Lori Lauder has been a practicing dental hygienist since graduating from Ohio State University with a bachelor's degree in 1994 and from the University of California, San Francisco with her master's degree in dental hygiene just last year in 2015. Today, she has a variety of career roles, including teaching, private practice, speaking, writing, and event planning. Ugh, event planning, I hate that. Lori has written a monthly column in RDH Magazine since 2005. She received the 2011 Idaho State University Division of Health Sciences and Professional Achievement Award and the 2015 Sunstar America Award of Distinction. Lori is the founder and owner of Dental IQ, a business committed to providing quality continuing education to the entire dental team. Welcome back, Lori.
Good morning, Shirley.
So you and I have been in agreement on this topic for decades. We met on America Online decades ago. Can you believe America Online decades ago? And yesterday or whatever day, Friday, whatever, we were chatting on Facebook about the big hoopla with how dental hygienists were portrayed on this one particular advertisement for The Bachelor. And the dental hygienist was lumped together with fake jobs like fart smeller. And I don't even know what they all were, but there were six jobs that bachelorettes on The Bachelor had. And one of those jobs was a dental hygienist. And the dental hygiene community was, well, I'm going to say it, they were apeshit about it. They went ballistic. And this was about the only time, I think, that ADHA really did support dental hygienists. So that's what we kind of started with. And then we were like, well, you know, how do we act? Do we act like we're a bunch of bubbleheads?
Right. Right. It's all about how we portray ourselves.
In real life.
In real life. And unfortunately, sometimes the perception, especially in media of that sort, TV, it's always been the hygienist is either, for lack of a better word, you said apeshit, so I'll say slut. she's either the slutty blonde with the unbuttoned jacket who has an affair with a dentist, or she's the dingbat, you know, who cleans teeth and didn't go to real college. We saw it on Reba. We've seen it on other shows as well. And it's just, and in some ways, it's funny. I mean, mm-hmm. it I you know, if I can't poke fun at myself, I'm going to be in trouble. So that kind of stuff is fine. But in other ways, we let it carry over. So then people, things like The View, do get the idea that we're just people without a college education that make way too much money if they only knew reality.
Well, right.
In reality, you can't get it right.
Some of those job situations where it says, 10 jobs with good pay that you don't need a college education for. Dental hygiene always lands up on that list, and nobody sets them straight except for a bunch of hysterical Facebook hygienists who send poorly written, non-effectual kind of rants to those sites. And we could really use some PR to kind of combat all of that. Most of us have an actual degree, an undergraduate degree. We've spent as much money as anybody else who went to college on our education. That's a whole nother rant. I think we did a show just on the dental hygiene education problem. But we could portray ourselves a little bit better on the front side so that people won't keep having these weird opinions.
Right. This came up just the other day again. What was the title? I think it was Extremely Well-Paying Jobs Without a Lot of Schooling. Without a lot of training, because the training word kicks my rear. we're not trained, and we do that to ourselves, too. When I was trained as a dental hygienist, no, you weren't trained. You were educated.
Right.
You know, there's a whole different thing. I'm probably trained, but I'm educated to do dental hygiene. We just don't know. And you know, kudos to those who write. It's something. It's, you know, even if it's an outrage, at least they're writing, letting them know that's not who we are. But there is no, well, maybe I can't say no. There's not, if there is a concentrated, focused effort at PR to change these images, I miss it, and I'm looking all the time. But that's,
right.
So if it may be out there, somebody will correct me, I'm sure, and send it to me 15 times today. But I'm not seeing it, and other people I talk to aren't seeing it. My own kids don't see it. If they see something positive about dental hygiene, they have to hurry and tell me because it's so foreign to them.
Yeah, it's really unusual. You know,
that should not be that way, that my children don't see positive portrayals or positive PR about the dental hygienist. And it's not just that we clean teeth. I mean, that's not – there's so much more. I was on a committee recently, kind of a think tank thing. It was very new for me. With a group of names that just blew me away in medicine and dentistry as well, working on a piece to send to legislation so that patients on Medicare who also have diabetes, lung infections, and a couple of other conditions can get care for preventative services, which is a dental hygiene thing, because of the systemic oral link and the research that went into that and the paper that came out of it, which... I'll be in trouble for this too, but it's funny that it had to be written down for legislative people.
Wow,
to put it in
they're consumers.
Beyond basic English. But the fact that this is what's real, this is what we need, this is a role for a dental hygienist. I was the only hygienist on the team. It was set up that way on purpose. But these are things hygienists are doing, and these are the people that people need to know. We're trying to affect legislation. We're trying to get more care to people. We're trying to be in places where people need us, in the hospitals, in hospice, and everywhere where we're needed. And that's not the image that's being portrayed. It's the woman who goes in and scrapes your teeth and makes funny jokes with you and you know, looks in your eyes and unbuttons her shirt, which
Well, right. It's all about the boobs in your face. And sometimes, and I really, I'm always embarrassed when I say this, but I have to continuously say it because I think it's true and it is happening. It's kind of unfolding that way, that as men become hygienists and as we get more men into dental hygiene, I think things are improving slightly. Or they have more weight or something like that. And I don't know what that's about. I'm not a feminist. No one would ever call me a feminist. But it's not, I'm an equalist, I guess. it's not right that it should be that way. Well, we can do more as women and just create some standards for ourselves to imply what it is that we're doing, that we're managing a biofilm that affects their heart and that affects their entire being. And without us, they, right now, they would be sunk.
Right. And yeah, that whole, you know, I remember, well, I'm so old. There were not a lot of males in dental hygiene when I started. There was one in my class.
Yeah.
And I've watched this influx, and I remember seeing articles specifically about men in hygiene, males in hygiene, how, you know, different and wonderful, and they were looked down upon, almost like you can't do something real, so you're going to be a hygienist. You'll be a dental hygienist until you can get a real job. And now that men are taking it serious and saying, no, I'm making a career of this.
Yep.
You know, and now, you know, especially like in the VA system, and it's great. I'm not saying it's wrong, because I've met some, you know, hygienists. I've met great hygienists. I've met okay hygienists, and I've met hygienists who make me shake my head, and their sex has never been, or their gender has never been a part of why any of them are that way.
Right.
But it's great to see the diversity. I mean, I live in California by San Francisco. I'm the, you know, diversity person. I love to see the diversity, but at the same time, it shouldn't take men to turn our profession around.
Right.
As dental hygienists, we, regardless, especially being female, should take on that power and let the world know who we are and what we do. And it's not just, even sometimes on dental hygiene chat things, this, the whole thing about, oh, well, you know, I can show you a before and after picture where I got a whole bunch of coffee stain off somebody's teeth or a whole bunch of tobacco stain off top of someone's teeth. Aren't I a great hygienist? Okay, today you were good at removing stain, but what did you do for that person? You know, was their smoking cessation education included? Did you talk to them about those inflamed gums there and what it's doing to the rest of their body? You know, remove stains? I mean, it sounds crass, but so what?
Right.
Stain does not affect health. And we want to affect health.
And it's not what we went to school for 1,000 years, and we paid $100,000 or whatever, $80,000 for our education. And that's where I keep getting all twisted up too, is that dental hygienists get incredibly upset when dental assistants gain a little bit of a foothold in our mind, and that they are suddenly allowed to do this or that, which is traditionally a dental hygienist procedure. And the reason that I think hygienists get so upset about it is because they really do think that removing stain is their job, and they're not out on the forefront writing, speaking, going to their, you know, their Lions meeting, their local optimist club, and saying, I don't do just stain removal. I do biofilm removal, and if I do it right, you're going to be healthier. It's hard to measure health.
Right. You know, that's a whole other, I'm not talking about myself today. It's just I can take from my own life experience.
Right.
I got invited this year to speak to a medical group here in California. And it's what's odd is they wanted to talk to their nurses, PAs, and even customer service representatives, which I thought was great, about the oral systemic link. And they were banging their heads trying to find a dentist who would do it for the sum they were willing to pay, our presentation. Mm-hmm. Until somebody said to a doctor that works there, how about a hygienist? I think I know one. They didn't even think dental hygienist to talk about oral systemic link until they were told to think about a hygienist. And actually, this other hygienist was only asked because they wanted to know if she knew a dentist.
Yeah, that's how it is, right?
Yeah, I went and spoke to this group, and they were, one thing is that they ask a lot more questions about the oral systemic link than I get in dental CEs, which was kind of scary. But at the same time, too, being able to explain to them what a dental hygienist does. There was a couple there that talked about how they had diabetes, and their hygienist was given education, which was wonderful because that's the direction it needs to go. But there were others who were just like, still, you know, well, what do my teeth have to do with my diabetes? What do my teeth have to do with my lung disease? What do my teeth have to do with my heart? They don't, you know, what do my medications have to do with anything? People don't get it, and we're not out there telling them. And if doctors don't know, actually, the head of the thing is not a doctor, but if a medical group doesn't know that a dental hygienist has your answers to oral systemic link,
yeah,
then we're not getting out somewhere. I'm not saying dentists won't. A dentist could have given this presentation if they were willing for what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But we know. We're there. We're educating the patients. We're not trying to cram a crown into that hour. We've got time to speak to them about inflammation, about biofilm, about bacteria, about inflammatory mediators and where they come for, from and why your oral infection is affecting your liver. We have the opportunity because they can't speak. Their mouth is open.
Right.
So we can do this. We really can, and we should. And your patient should leave your chair knowing that you care about their entire health, not just that stain that you could take a picture of because you got it off the lingual of those lower anteriors.
So, Lori, there are two things that come to mind. One is that you have started another organization, a Facebook organization, which is not the same as like a group called the Dental Hygienist right. Alliance, which is a PR machine. And then I was recently contacted by one of the electronic health records company about how they can support dental hygienists more using electronic health records. And I was like, there were like fireworks going off in my head. The idea that when you're doing a perio chart and there's nothing that pops up to say this patient has 40% deep pockets, their risk for diabetes is 72%. Yes or no, is this patient diabetic? If you put no, then it could say this person should be referred or they should do a blood test or do something to do to check for diabetes. There's nothing really in our system either to help support us. These electronic health records are all about the front office and how to support the doctor making more money or the practice making more money to be more effective. More accurate, which in turn the dental hygienist could make more money. But those electronic health records don't calculate and they don't report what dental hygienists have done and what they've talked to their patients about, so they can say things like, "You saw 28 patients this last 3 days, and you did 28 oral cancer screenings. You found zero oral cancer when the national studies tell us that you should have at least seen one person to refer out." It's that kind of thing that nobody is thinking about, and it's been part of my programs and yours probably too forever. How many of these have you done? How many diabetic patients do you have? So it's taking a really long time to put dental hygienists on the map, partly because we're not asking for it. This is a second job for most of the dental hygienists in the United States, their first job being their family.
Yes.
And so the people like you and me who are, you know, over 29 and have all grown children are stuck kind
well,
of
over 29.
Now here we are, a bunch of old ladies, like you mentioned, you know, saying, "Hey, look at us. But we're the old ladies, and I don't know if there is an answer in what I just said, but I think it's worth pondering.
It is, and I think maybe some of it starts with our patients. I mean, I'm still floored at how many hygienists in a program. I used to do a program about the hygienist as a healthcare provider, and honestly, mm-hmm. nobody wants to hear it anymore. But even the number of hygienists who don't take blood pressure because they don't understand why that's important. Can you imagine if every patient in the world who saw a dental hygienist knew they were going to get their blood pressure taken? Just what even that would do to raise the idea that we're healthcare providers, that
yeah.
we are taking care of your health. Telling a patient when you're doing an oral cancer screening, this is what I'm looking for. And if you don't see anything, great, let them know that you were looking for it. It's not something you can do, which I've heard too. Oh, I do that while I probe. I look around while I'm probing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not oral cancer screening.
No.
So we need to I think if we could let the public know what we do, and that's what the alliance is about. You didn't mention the Dental Hygienist Alliance.
Yeah, I want to talk
letting
about that.
The public know what the dental hygienist is doing. So the fact that a dental hygienist is the one who saw the changes in the little girl's face that she ended up having liver cancer. You know, the dental hygienists recognize diabetic signs in patients. We don't diagnose, but recognize that smell that we all know, mm-hmm. that ketosis smell. The dental hygienists, you know, in the news, that dental hygienists are the ones going out to see patients who are homebound and finding things that can help improve whatever, you know, their longevity or what's going on in their life. They're the ones finding the blocked airways, the inflammation, the problems with the tongue, all those types of things, even so far as noticing depression, you know, and having people refer for those types of things. If people just knew that's what we did, if they just knew, I mean, that's
yeah.
right. I don't know if there is an answer other than trying to whip out PRs as fast as we can. But people need to know, and we need to be better at letting them know. It's not all about, I mean, stain removal is great. Patients want it. It's a place to start. But, you know, while I removed your stain today, let me talk to you about what smoking does to your body. Let me show you this right here where all the stain is removed. See this redness? This is inflammation. See this pus here? This is bacteria. This is output of biofilm. Here's what biofilm does to your body. I mean, if patients just knew there was something more coming than I polished your teeth today. And to be quite honest with you, if an assistant wants to polish, that's great because I don't love it.
Right?
It's time removing stain that I'd rather be doing something else. But I think we do that out of fear, honestly. I mean, our jobs are being attacked from many angles because people do think anyone can do it. And so they're looking for the cheapest way to get that done. And unfortunately, that means giving these duties to someone else. And then we panic. If they're going to give away my polishing, what are they going to take away next? Instead, it should be, you know what? Polishing is something that could be delegated. But I want to be able to see patients in a school. I want less restriction on care. I want to be able to take silver diamine fluoride, and I want to be able to go out in the community and arrest decay on patients who can't get to the dentist right now and may not get to the dentist for a year or two. Let somebody else polish. Let me affect health. And we just for some reason don't do that.
Right. And we're so, it's almost as if the other side, whichever we want to call that, is creating these things to keep us or keep organized dental hygienists just fighting for status quo instead of having enough time and energy to move forward. And there's not a lot of hygienists even who they would move forward if somebody was out there with the machete, that's how I always picture you and I. We're out there with the machete, you know, creating a path. And they're okay with that. And there's some that really just want the status quo. They've been in a practice for 1,000 years. They know the patients. They know the patients' children and grandchildren. And they're very happy doing, you know, clinical standard dental hygiene practice. But even if we look historically, and I've been doing this accidentally, and I'm putting things together that I never even realized could be put together, the Weston A. Price Foundation and how Weston Price, the dentist, was sick and tired of drilling, filling, and billing, and he just sold everything, and he went on a worldwide quest to find out what was happening and found that it was that all dental decay and malocclusion was coming from the diet. And the Western diet in particular, which was just 20 years after Dr. Fones invented the dental hygienist officially. And then Dr. Pottinger and his cat studies that I keep referring to, and everybody should look that up on YouTube. It's just unbelievable how fast dietary problems can manifest themselves. In the cat population, it was at the first generation, they were already having occlusion problems and maxillary growth problems. And really, that's what Dr. Price found. And that's where dental hygiene could be. But a lot of us are stuck with the original model of using a rag to get, you know, the soft stuff off of teeth. So
all you say that might be on purpose. Maybe there's a purpose for us continually fighting for our careers.
Yes.
It might not be accidental. Are you saying it might not be accidental
that
we spend our time fighting for what we have?
It's all of it. I mean, you have to go backwards to go forwards. And dentistry has been really awesome at saving teeth with classic dental procedures. But even the dentists are running out of drill and fill work. And we're seeing now that we're having even more decay, but they have better materials, and we have an opportunity to find areas of breakdown earlier. And I mean, you know, I don't want this to turn into this whole big lecture, but more people have more teeth than ever before, and that's awesome. But now with all those teeth, we have all this biofilm management to work with, and dental hygienists should be freed to work in all settings, in all healthcare settings. And they shouldn't be tethered to a dentist any longer. I just don't see, it's not practical for the cost of healthcare.
Exactly. And there's just so many other places we need to be where a dentist isn't. respiratory treatment. Every respiratory therapist should have a hygienist, should have a dental hygienist right there with them. I've talked about that before, but that's kind of my thing. We need to be everywhere there's a need, and there's not always a dentist there. That doesn't mean dentists aren't out doing things. I know wonderful dentists who are out fighting the same battle, doing the same kind of deal, trying to get into the health part of it. And maybe dentists need to be in more places. You know, there's a thought there, too. Maybe dentists need to branch out from their office and be other places. But the dental hygienist makes so much sense because we know biofilm, we know respirator pneumonia, we know how to deal with both, and we can show and tell people how to help that stop that from happening. We know about the connection to the heart. We, you know, being in a cardiologist's office, being able to explain to patients how their mouth affects their outcome of their recent bypass surgery, that makes sense for us to be there. We don't have to have a scaler in our hand. We're stuck to having a scaler in our hand and a dentist on our back. And that's what it's come to.
Well, and then we call ourselves educators, and that's our most important job, is to educate. And
yes.
And then we really don't act like it. We act like we're scaling machines, and that's our real purpose for being here. You know, I now that you talk about the respiration, I wonder if I've talked to you about this before, is this the idea of Helicobacter pylori, which is the bacteria that causes ulcers, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So it lives in the oral biofilm, and the World Gastroenterology field, I don't know, can't think of the name of the journal right now, is advocating for dental hygiene visits for their patients who are suffering with stomach ulcers. I don't, you know, I'm subbing now, and I don't know that you practice more than one day a week or whatever, but do you see a lot of ulcer patients?
You know, not so much in the last, and you got me thinking, and I'm glad we don't prep for these things, I have to pull my brain out. I don't think I've seen as much ulcer issues in the last 10 years that I saw in the first 10 years of my career.
Yes, right.
So there's something is happening. I remember when you said that, I remember a student, and if the student's listening, I apologize. I don't remember if it was New York or Idaho, but I was helping with tables, with research tables.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of students had done a study on the ulcer bacteria, which I can't say that this early in the morning, and where it lives in the biofilm and the oral implications of this. And I remember thinking, really, ulcers? And it's right. And it's great that they understand, the gastroenterologists understand, that the hygienist is the one
right
to educate people on
they
this.
They did not say dental appointment in the paper. It
right.
said dental hygienist, removing calculus and loose teeth were high indicators. So...
Right.
That was awesome to me. And really, when you think about just biofilm and the inhabitants of a biofilm and how all that works together, the way that Helicobacter pylori, I said it twice now. I'm so proud of myself. Anyway, evacuates the somatic cells. So in the stomach, it explodes the tissue cell by cell. And it also does that in a periodontal pocket. And that's what can be leading to this influx of biofilm parts and planktonic bacteria getting into the cardiovascular system. So it's really important that we get rid of that particular bacterium. I really don't even know, does it live in a biofilm or is it a planktonic? But it also goes on into the nail beds. And in dental hygiene school, and I'm sure that you did too, you learned to have patients who bite their teeth or bite their fingernails to not do it. And pretty much that's all it was, because if you do it too much, you get a notch in your tooth or something stupid like that. But really what you're doing is you're transmitting that H. pylori back into the mouth, and you're reinfecting yourself. So telling you, this is the kind of thing that should be written about. This is what should be out in the world. Not that we don't know how to button our top button, and that wouldn't it be cool if we didn't wear a bra while we're cleaning teeth. That is just so low on the totem pole when we've got something like this that we could be barking about.
Right. Well, in arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis patients, they find oral bacterial DNA, which I know is just a first step. It's a first step. In the synovial fluid joints of patients who have rheumatoid arthritis, why aren't we talking to them about hygiene visits? Why aren't we talking about where this bacteria comes from and how to prevent it from getting there?
I don't know.
You're right. It comes down to bras. My career should not come down to bras for various reasons. Not.
No one would ever mistake me for a Victoria's Secret model. It's not, you know.
Maybe that's where our PR needs to go.
So frustrating.
The models with wings to talk about dental hygienists.
There you go.
And they're all.
Maybe. You gotta catch they probably would. They probably would. All right. Well, we're kind of out of time here now, Lori. I really appreciate an opportunity to put like minds together and try to motivate dental hygiene to kind of sit up and take notice of a lot of different things in their own field and join us at the Dental Hygienist Alliance on Facebook. Is there like a particular way to do that?
Just look up Dental Hygienist, apostrophes after the S, Alliance. Click to join, and if your profile says you're a dental hygienist, I will approve you automatically. If it doesn't, I have to go in a roundabout way and find out from you, or you can send a message. But yeah, it's all it takes. And if you're a hygienist, you're welcome to join. All opinions are welcome. Until, you know, it's probably been up there 2 years we started this. Last week is the first time I've ever ended a discussion, so I'm not saying it won't happen, but yeah. It's fairly unmoderated. Everyone's opinion matters. It's not a place to go ask for opinions about your patients. There are many, many great places for that.
Right.
It's not a place to complain about your day. It is profession focused. So not so much patient focused, but focus on our profession and what we can do to make our profession seen in the world and seen in the right light and explain to the public what we can do. And again, we do that through PRs. And if anyone writes PRs and wants to be a part of the Dental Hygienist Alliance, send me another message because I've got a couple for you to do.
Okay, that's terrific. Yeah, and you also, you're available for speaking too. I guess we never even talked about that.
I am.
And you have a website. It's your name, Lori Laughter.
.com.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Lori. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk again very soon.
All right.
Bye. So that was Lori Lauter, L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, and Lori with a Y, and you can find her at LoriLauter.com. And join us on the Dental Hygienist Alliance on Facebook, and let's get dental hygienists seen in the world, especially in the world of healthcare and how we can make a bigger impact as dental hygienists on the field of dental hygiene. This is Shirley Gutkowski signing off for another episode of Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down, broadcasting to you live from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Well, not really live anymore. Have a great rest of the day. Bye.